Imagine waking up every morning knowing your every word, gesture, and facial expression is being monitored. This is Winston Smith's reality in the decaying city of London, now called Airstrip 1 in the superstate of Oceania. The year is 1984, and the party, led by the enigmatic Big Brother, controls every aspect of life through omnipresent telescreens that both transmit and receive. Even a nervous tic or momentary doubt, a face crime, can mark someone for vaporization by the thought police. Winston works at the Ministry of Truth, where his job is to literally rewrite history-altering newspaper articles, photographs, and records to match current party narratives. When chocolate rations are reduced from 30 grams to 20, Winston must rewrite history to claim they've been increased to 20. Most disturbing is watching his fellow citizens celebrate this increase without questioning the contradiction. The party's control extends beyond surveillance into human connection itself. Children spy on parents through the Youth League and Junior Spies. Mrs. Parsons lives in terror of her own children, who eventually denounce their father for muttering "down with Big Brother" in his sleep. Marriage exists solely for procreation, with couples requiring party approval and sexual pleasure considered thought crime. What makes this world so terrifying isn't just the brutality, but the psychological manipulation. Citizens practice doublethink, holding contradictory beliefs simultaneously. They must believe the party is always right, while knowing they're participating in elaborate falsifications. They must love Big Brother while fearing his omnipresent gaze. In this society, the most revolutionary act is to love another person. This manifests when Julia passes Winston a note declaring, "I love you." Their affair becomes political rebellion in a world where sex serves only reproduction and pleasure is forbidden. Their relationship draws power from simple acts, drinking real coffee, lying naked together away from the telescreen, speaking freely. Winston treasures a glass paperweight with coral inside, seeing it as a miniature world where they exist beyond the party's reach. Meeting requires elaborate precautions, brief encounters in public spaces, speaking without moving their lips. Their time together is constrained by work schedules and Julia's calculated participation in party activities. "It's the one thing they can't do," Julia says of their private thoughts. "They can make you say anything, but they can't make you believe it." This notion of an untouchable human core becomes central to Winston's resistance, though its truth remains uncertain. Winston pins his hopes for resistance on O'Brien, an inner party member with whom he shares a mysterious connection. After O'Brien's cryptic dream message, "We shall meet in the place where there is no darkness," and subsequent invitation to his apartment, Winston believes he's found an ally. O'Brien gives Winston the theory and practice of oligarchical collectivism, Goldstein's forbidden book explaining how the party maintains power through perpetual war, poverty, and psychological control. The text reveals that the endless conflicts between Oceania, Eurasia, and East Asia are fabricated to destroy surplus production while fueling patriotism. The party slogans emerge as cynical power principles. War creates internal peace through outward hatred. Freedom would enslave people to their desires. Ignorance of reality strengthens party control through perception management. As Winston reads in his hideaway, his initial validation turns to hopelessness. How can one resist a system so perfectly designed? "If there is hope," Winston writes, "it lies in the proles." The working class, comprising 85% of Oceania's population, exists outside the party's strict control, following traditional ways of life and maintaining family bonds. Proles and animals are free, as the party saying goes. In proletarian neighborhoods, Winston observes their authentic lives. Women gossiping, men discussing the lottery, couples in love, families supporting each other. These basic human connections, forbidden among party members, endure among the proles. When Winston witnesses proletarian women protesting, his hopes rise, only to discover they're fighting over saucepans. Until they become conscious, they will never rebel. And until after they have rebelled, they cannot become conscious, he realizes. The party maintains control through prole feed, cheap entertainment, and sensationalist media. Their slogan, "Ignorance is strength," reveals their strategy of keeping the proles unaware, making their potential for resistance doubtful despite their preserved humanity. Winston and Julia's sanctuary becomes their undoing when Mr. Charrington reveals himself as thought police. Their arrest sees their cherished glass paperweight, symbol of the preserved past, shatter on the floor. In the windowless Ministry of Love, Winston encounters countless broken prisoners. Terror peaks when one prisoner begs to avoid room 101, ready to betray anyone to escape his personal horror. O'Brien reveals a devastating truth. The Brotherhood was fake, Goldstein's book his creation, and Winston's rebellion orchestrated. Through torture, O'Brien proves the party's absolute power. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face, forever. Facing room 101 and his fear of rats, Winston makes the ultimate betrayal, do it to Julia, not me. In sacrificing love, the party's victory becomes complete. The final chapter shows Winston's complete transformation at the Chestnut Tree Cafe, where he spends his days in an alcoholic haze. A chance encounter with Julia in a park confirms their mutual destruction as they admit to betraying each other, the party's ultimate victory over human connection. Julia's observation that under torture, you want it to happen to the other person, reveals how the party destroys not just loyalty, but the capacity for love itself. As Winston sits in the cafe listening to news of Oceania's victory in Africa, his final resistance crumbles. Two gin-scented tears trickle down his face as he realizes he loves Big Brother. Even his tears are contaminated by the state. This ending shows the party's complete victory over Winston's consciousness. His independent thought, ability to love, and identity have been methodically destroyed and replaced with genuine devotion to Big Brother. Newspeak, Oceania's official language, serves as a powerful tool of oppression by deliberately diminishing the range of thought. By eliminating words and narrowing definitions, it aims to make thought crime impossible. For how can one formulate thoughts without the words to express them? The language reduces vocabulary to bare essentials, eliminates nuance, and makes parts of speech interchangeable. Crucially, it removes words expressing abstract concepts like freedom or justice, replacing them with narrow, politically approved terms. As Syme, a Newspeak specialist, tells Winston, don't you see that the whole aim of Newspeak is to narrow the range of thought? In the end, we shall make thought crime literally impossible, because there will be no words in which to express it. In our world of alternative facts and manipulated information, Orwell's warning remains relevant. When we lose precise language, we lose the ability to think precisely, and ultimately, to resist. The battle for human freedom begins with protecting language itself.